Hour number two, Stillman and Company, 1025-1063. The game presented by Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly in for Jared Stillman today. Again, Jared will be back on Friday. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is 3 o'clock, and this week, that means we're going to dive into our NFL preview. Yesterday, we talked about the AFC and NFC North divisions, previewed those groups, really competitive divisions yesterday, with a lot of question marks. Today, really no different. AFC and NFC East, we're going to talk about today. We'll start with the AFC. The Bills winning it last year in a landslide, 13-4. Miami was second, 8-9. The Jets, 5-12. And the Patriots rounding it out at 4-13. I'm going to save the Bills, who are the clear favorite, and the Patriots for our second segment here, because I think the Patriots, one of the more hyped teams this offseason with what they've done in free agency and the draft, and of course, bringing in former Titans coach Mike Vrabel. But let's start with the New York Jets. I think most people would probably agree the Jets are the worst team in this division. Is that fair?
Probably. They still have some pieces, though.
They do. And new head coach, new GM. They've got some talent.
New quarterback.
Like, Sauce Gardner, I think it was premature to put him in the Patrick Surtain kind of category. But he's still, Sauce Gardner is still a really good cornerback.
I'd say top five cornerback.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he's Derek Stingley or Patrick Surtain, but he's close. And then, like, Garrett Wilson, probably still a top 15 wide receiver in the league. Justin Fields is a little bit of...
See, I think he gets too much hate.
I agree. That's what I'm kind of trying to say. Like, I don't think he's going to be horrible this year, but I don't think he's good enough to put them in any kind of playoff conversation.
No, I think he's like a... I think he gets too much hate, but he's kind of like a Kirk Cousins type guy, where I don't think he's going to individually go out there and win you a game.
Yeah.
But I think he's serviceable enough to do his job, find receivers. He's mobile enough to get outside and pick up a few yards himself. I don't know. I think the Jets, I think they'll be in the same position they were last year, records-wise.
Yeah, like 5-12, give or take a win.
But I think there will be more optimism towards them because they're out of the Aaron Rodgers shadow and no more Alan Lazard or, you know, Devontae Adams.
Not that Devontae Adams is bad, but
right.
But it just felt like everything they did for the last 2 years was all about Aaron Rodgers. Now they can move on from that era.
And they can kind of invest in some of these young guys like a Sauce Gardner or Garrett Wilson or C.J. Mosley or, you know, guys that they can look at towards their future. I just think they'll probably finish last in the division just because they're the Jets and you should always expect disappointment with the Jets because that's how they are. But I think it'll be like an optimistic 6-win team, 5-win team, if that makes sense.
Which just makes me wonder what the long-term plan for this Jets team is, because if you are a 6-win team, that doesn't put you in position to draft a quarterback next year, which eventually they're going to have to draft another one, which is crazy because they've drafted two in the top three in the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And neither of them made it past year three or four. Darnold got traded. He was picked in 18.
Yeah, and then Zach Wilson.
And then
was
traded in 21. So, yeah, he made it 3 years. Wilson made it two.
Yeah.
So
got benched, cut.
They're going to have to pick a quarterback high. And I think this roster is good enough to not be one of the worst teams in the league. But I don't think it's good enough to get him anywhere near the playoffs.
If they can find a quarterback. So Justin Fields is pretty much on the last leg of his career. Do you think that he's going to discover this potential that a lot of people says he has? Do you think he's going to discover that in New York?
That's kind of what
I struggle to believe that.
That's kind of what we just said. Like, I don't think Justin Fields is the kind of quarterback that's going to go out there and play hero ball and take over a game like a Mahomes or an Allen or a Lamar Jackson would. But I think he's kind of like a Kirk Cousins kind of quarterback, Jared Goff, where he goes out and does his job, does a few things, but nothing over the top to just go out and win you a game. Like, I think he'll be serviceable, but I don't think he'll be this world-beating quarterback.
And he has a defensive-minded head coach. He needs somebody who is a guru on offense to help him in the passing game. He's fine in the run game. We all know that. And I'm sure the Jets will incorporate some quarterback runs, but
is Todd Downing still on staff?
No,
I don't think so.
He could be, but their offensive coordinator is Tanner Engstrand. He was the Lions passing game coordinator under Ben Johnson. So,
maybe, which could be good, right? Jared Goff did a lot of play action, and that's what kind of helped him, you know, discover his potential. Justin Fields is not necessarily a play action quarterback.
Well, the Jets have good young running backs, I think.
That could take some pressure off Fields for sure. Right. Garrett Wilson as well.
Yeah.
Jets, I think they're probably the worst team in the division, but I also don't think they're going to be horrible.
Right.
This is a good division. Although I have trouble, and we'll move on to the Dolphins here. I have trouble seeing the Dolphins being any kind of playoff contender this year either. I would put the Dolphins and the Jets kind of in the same category of 5-6 wins.
I would put all of them in the same category except the Bills.
I just don't like Tua Tagovailoa. Like
My dad and I were talking about him today. I think he's one concussion away from hanging it up.
Okay, Jared.
I know. Even when Jared's gone, Tua catches strays on his show.
He is. I mean, does Tua go out there and do anything that makes you think he is an upper echelon quarterback?
Unless, as Jared would say, unless he's playing at 1 p.m. with Spiro Ditas and Adam Archuleta on the call, no.
Right.
Those are the games where he puts up 500 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But
the once-a-year fantasy bomb for me when I draft Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill.
But it doesn't seem like Tua is ever going to elevate that roster. And Tyreek Hill, I know everybody talks about, you know, wow, Father Time's undefeated against wide receivers who are fast because eventually they start losing a step. And Tyreek Hill, when he loses a step, becomes just a guy.
Yeah.
So I'm not high on the Dolphins this year. I would say 6-11 would be my guess, maybe 7-10, but they're taking a step back.
Yeah. See, I know we haven't talked about the Patriots yet, but I think I would put 3 of the 4 teams in that category. Like, no one in that division other than the Bills has anything that moves me to think they're going to be a playoff contender.
Well, let's talk about the Patriots when we come back. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're previewing the AFC East. We'll hit the NFC East in the second half of the hour. What about the New England Patriots in year one under Mike Vrabel? And do the Buffalo Bills finally have enough to break through and make it to the Super Bowl with Josh Allen? We'll hit it next here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
There seems to me to be a lot of, I guess, hype being the right word on the Patriots heading into this year. What do you make of that and your expectations for them in Vrabel's first year?
Yeah, and I mean, I know you guys because I visit Nashville often. You guys have legal sports betting there, so you can look and see over-under for the Patriots wins this year is 8.5 at MGM. And it's like, all right, this team has won 8 games combined the last 2 years. But I get it. Like, they had Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel should have been the Titans coach for 20 years. Like, I still just shake my head at how that got screwed up. Mike Vrabel's a heck of a coach. Like, I don't like the way the Patriots handled the situation. I thought that Drop Mayo really got the raw end of the deal, and I thought they made a joke out of the Rooney rule and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, they got one of the best coaches in the NFL. Okay, well, you know, I don't like the process, but they did get Mike Vrabel, who I have a ton of respect for. So he changes that, obviously. Drake May, you talked about him. He really showed a lot. They went out, and I thought, if you were ranking, and I do, ranking who had the best draft and who had the best free agency in the NFL this year, I think the Patriots ranked number one in both categories. I thought they spent so much money to fix the defense and got some real impact players on that side of the ball. And then their draft was really, really good. I like everything about their roster building this offseason. So they've upgraded the talent from probably the worst roster in the NFL to a pretty good roster. And they have a really weak schedule this year. So you look at it and you say, okay, how could this team go from 4 wins to 9 or 10 or whatever? But I at least see the path. The talent is just night and day, and the coaching is a huge, huge upgrade. So, yeah, I think this Patriots team is going to be pretty good. I don't know if they can get the 9 wins. That's a lot to ask, but It also wouldn't shock me. It's just going to be a different Patriots team than what we've been used to seeing the last couple of years.
That was Frank Schwab joining Robbie and Rex Road a couple of weeks ago from Yahoo Sports, talking about Mike Vrabel and this Patriots team, what they could be in year one under the former Titans head coach. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are previewing the AFC East. We'll hit the NFC East coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Patriots are the media darling of the NFL offseason this year. They are the team everybody's looking at as the team that could go worst to first. And I thought Frank made some good points in that clip of, I think they did have a good free agency. I think Milton Williams is one of the more underrated signings that you'll see, bring him in at defensive tackle. I think Harold Landry, even though he's not an elite pass rusher, he does add a veteran presence on the edge. I didn't love the Will Campbell pick at four, but I loved what they did on day two, bringing in Travion Henderson and Kyle Williams. And I agree that Mike Vrabel is a good coach, but I do think that the hype for this Patriots team is just getting a little bit out of control.
I think it's the Vrabel show all over again. Parker just went in my ear during that clip and said, you know who is on staff with Mike Vrabel? Todd Downing.
Yeah.
So I think this is the Mike Vrabel show. I think it's just going to be another, hey, run, 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 punt, you know? And then if, you know, Vrabel yells more at the media when things start going bad and losing sucks, Gentry, you know? I just
coach better, play better.
Yeah, I just don't think there's nothing on this roster that I think moves me either. Like, you have Drake May, who I guess you're going to invest in, good quarterback, but you bring in Stephon Diggs, who I think is just a guy now. He's not really Stephon Diggs of the Minnesota Vikings or his early days with the Bills. There's just nothing on this roster that I think is going to uplift them over Buffalo. Like, there's just nothing I see.
Listen to this. So here's the Patriots coaching staff, and I want you to tell me how many names you recognize on this list. Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator. Obviously, they had some time together in New England.
Right. Yep.
Thomas Brown, yep, who is the passing game coordinator, who actually interviewed for the Titans job before, yep, Brian Callahan. Doug Marrone, offensive line coach. Jason Hudelang, assistant,
oh, wow,
offensive line coach.
Greatest interview of all time.
Todd Downing, wide receivers. Tony Dews, running backs. How many Titans assistants do you see in there?
Former
Titans assistants.
Mike Vrabel, I do think one of his biggest downfalls was he kept everything in his circle with coaching. Like, offensive coordinator. He had four different offensive coordinators during his time in Nashville. And the only one that was a quote-unquote outside hire was his first one. And that was Matt LaFleur, who I think John Robinson, when they made that hire, probably married those two together. Like,
yeah.
I really doubt that Mike Vrabel was the one who hired Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, they did not get along either.
So I think that was not his choice. And his other three hires, for better or for worse, because Arthur Smith ended up being a great decision when they promoted him to offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But all were just promotions. They brought up Arthur Smith. They brought up Todd Downing. They brought up Tim Kelly. So that was a downfall of Vrabel in Tennessee, and you already see it a little bit in New England. I do think this team is going to be better. The team is better.
Sure.
And as Frank Schwab said, their schedule's super easy. Like,
yeah,
they
true.
Do not play a whole lot of tough games. So I could see this team being in the hunt, 8-9-win team. But people talking about them being in the conversation with the Bills to win this division, I don't see it.
I think
the Bills are head and shoulders above everybody else.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be another case of Vrabel can't get out of Vrabel's way, and he's too stuck in his own ways to make a scheme change or something like that. I just think there are going to be games this season, kind of like we saw here, where Vrabel is going to coach his way into a hole, and he's going to get beat by a team that he shouldn't beat. Maybe that's a Titans thing, because I always say Titans are going to Titan. That should be copyrighted under my name, because I'm the one who started that on this station. But I just think Vrabel is going to, I don't think he's going to exceed any expectations that are set. I think the national media just loves them, Mike Vrabel, too much. And he's a great coach, and we loved him while he was here, but I just don't see anything on this roster that makes me think otherwise.
Well, I will say they swung really big in free agency, and I thought they made some really good, solid pickups. I thought they drafted well. I just think Vrabel should be hands-off Drake May, because I don't trust Vrabel to develop a young quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and Drake May is the big center cog of all of this. I think everybody is just thinking Drake May is immediately going to elevate himself into an elite quarterback this year. But Drake May, yes, he looked good last year down the stretch. I think Drake May is going to be a good quarterback. But he's being talked about like he had a Jaden Daniels-type rookie season.
I mean, he was fine.
I think he was just he was above average, which is what you're hoping for. Yeah. And I think he showed the strides necessary to make you think that you drafted your franchise quarterback.
I think the Patriots are just playing revisionist history. Like, we had Tom Brady, and then who else have we had after that? Yeah. Jacoby Brissett. Mac Jones was a dumpster fire.
They had the greatest college quarterback of all time.
Cam Newton.
Bailey Zappi.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Cam Newton was first after Brady.
Go Tops.
He was awful. I just think they're setting their expectations too high, and there's nothing. Did you say go Tops? This is a Blue Raider
That's where Bailey Zappi played.
Yeah, I know. This is Blue Raider country.
You know what else? We're also in Tennessee, and we have a lot of Vols fans in the area, but yet that doesn't stop you from dumping on them.
I don't dump on them.
I do.
He does.
So does Frazier.
Yeah, Frazier likes to.
I'm very unbiased.
Anyway.
Unlike L. Duncan.
I like Mike Vrabel, and I do. I think Titans fans should appreciate everything that he did to get the Titans back into Super Bowl contention, because he had them there for 3 years. But when Frank Schwab says, and I talked about this with Robbie after we had Frank on, when he said that Vrabel should have been the coach here for 20 years, national NFL media members don't understand that he lost 18 of his last 24 games.
Right.
And was still talking like he was the guy who just took them to the number one seed. Like, it's a what have you done for me lately league. And
if for him, it was always someone else's fault.
Right. Vrabel down the stretch was not good, and his shtick of being the grumpy old man was not playing with Titans fans anymore. I still think that Amy Adams Strunk shouldn't have fired him. I think he deserved another year. But to act like the Titans just out of nowhere let go of one of the best coaches in the league for no reason is...
I mean, clearly you don't follow the storylines.
Right.
That go on.
Again, he was 6-18. In his last 24 games.
He had a, what was it, four-game division lead and completely
and blew it. And part of that was quarterback injuries.
Yeah.
We do have to add the context in there. But when you lose 18 out of 24 games, you're not going to get a whole lot of a leash unless your name is Bill Belichick or Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh.
Right.
Unless you have established yourself as a consistent Super Bowl contending coach, you're not going to get a long leash when you lose 75% of your games over a season and a half span.
Look at Doug Peterson in Jacksonville.
Right.
He won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. But how did that work out for him in Florida?
It is a what have you done for me lately league, and Vrabel was not good for a good year and a half, nearly two full seasons. I don't think they should have fired him, but I think you can understand why they did.
Yeah.
And that's why I always laugh when all these national NFL media people or like, why did the Titans fire Vrabel? It's like, well, he wasn't very good down the stretch.
I mean, that's the thing. They cover all these teams on a broad scale. Like, you cover all 32 teams.
Right.
You know the basic storylines, but they don't get the insight that a beat writer would get.
Right.
They don't get the insight that a radio host would get and talks about here locally. So it's just, it is funny, you're right, to look at that and be like, why would they do that? I'm like, obviously, you didn't really pay attention to the things
right.
that happened to you.
You're not listening to every one of his press conferences and watching every one of the games. Again, I will continue to preface. I'm not trying to say that I agreed with the decision
right.
to fire Vrabel, but I understood it. Yeah. And I think Vrabel will do a fine job with the Patriots, but acting like he's going to go in there and immediately bring them back to the days of Belichick, I think is pretty crazy. 615-737-1025. That's our look at the AFC East. We didn't really touch on the Bills that much, but...
Don't really need to.
The Bills, they're the favorite, and I think they are right there with the Chiefs for who's going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. That's all that needs to be said about the Bills. Speaking of the Super Bowl champions are in the NFC East. Will they be able to defend their title and break the Is it 20-year-long streak of not having a repeat champion in the NFC East? We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trinitix's Rock the Cradle. This event is sure to be a great time celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you in for Jared Stillman here on Stillman and Company. We are continuing our week-long NFL preview. Yesterday, we did the AFC and NFC North. We just looked through the AFC East. Now it's time to take a look at the NFC East.
America's Conference.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Probably.
They get the most primetime games, that's for sure.
It's because they have two teams that like the primetime.
Yes, even if they're not good, the Giants and the Cowboys, they get all the primetime games, and now you've got two good teams along with them in the Eagles and Commanders. As the Eagles, they are the defending Super Bowl champions. The Commanders got to the NFC Championship in year one of Jaden Daniels. And you got the Cowboys and the Giants. There has not been a repeat division champion in the NFC East since 2004. The Eagles won four.
As long as I've been alive.
Right. In your lifetime, there has not been a repeat in the NFC East. The Eagles won four straight from 01 to 04, and since then, there has not been a back-to-back NFC East division champion. The Eagles were 14-3 last year. They won it. The Commanders 12-5, the Cowboys 7-10, the Giants 3-14. Let's start with the Giants. I don't expect almost anything from them. I think they are kind of tanking. We were talking yesterday about the Browns, and I said the Browns and Saints are the two teams that I think are pretty safely in the cellar. I would put the Giants right there with them. They may not be in the cellar, but they're halfway down the stairs.
They want a quarterback.
Right.
I mean, do you think Russell Wilson is going to uplift this team to a playoff spot? Do you think Jameis Winston is going to lift this team to a playoff spot?
And, like, they didn't give up enough for Jackson Dart that if they were picking first overall next year that they wouldn't take it. Like, it's not like they're tied to Jackson Dart.
That is my hot take, though. I think Jackson Dart will be the starter by week 8.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Week 8?
Yeah.
They need to know what they've gotten him. I think you need to see at least 8-9 games from Jackson Dart to get a good gauge of, all right, is this our guy for the future, or should we draft another one?
I don't think they'll, like, if Russell Wilson goes out there and stinks it up, I don't think they'll even look at Jameis Winston. I think they'll just say, Jackson, get out there.
Yep, go ahead. And it feels like Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are kind of lame duck this year. I'm surprised John Mara didn't fire them last year. And I think they may have just said, you know what, this year is going to be bad. We didn't get the number one pick, so we can't get a quarterback. Let's just let them go this year. We'll clean house and draft a new quarterback next year.
And they can't afford to tank for that very reason, because they'll be gone. And
right. Well, they're not going to be trying to tank. I just don't think they're very good.
And then if Jackson Dart does happen to be the starter by week 8, then you're giving him a new head coach. So it's just a big mess. If you wanted to fire them last year and then draft Jackson Dart and bring in a head coach that can grow with him, that would make more sense.
Well, but if Dart is good and Daboll develops him, maybe they give them another chance. But I don't think Dart's going to be all that good.
How do you think Abdul Carter does?
I like Abdul Carter.
I do too.
I think he's a good player. And I think he's going to be a guy who is,
they got a good front in the defense.
Right. Once they get their new quarterback next year, they might be able to figure it out. I mean, yeah, Dexter Lawrence was just named the top defensive tackle in
Kayvon
the league
Thibodeau.
This morning.
Brian Burns.
The defense, at least the defensive front, they're pretty good.
Javon Holland back there in the secondary.
They just signed Javon Holland from the Dolphins. They need a quarterback, and if Jackson Dart doesn't show he's that guy, they're going to be picking one early. I think that's all that needs to be said about the Giants. The Cowboys. I don't know what to think about the Cowboys.
I think they're going
to
suck.
I think they need to stay healthy. That's the first thing. Dak Prescott needs to be on the field.
I mean, do they, same thing I'll say for the AFC East. Do they have, other than CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, do they have a rostered player you can look at and say, that guy can go out there and win them a game?
George Pickens.
George Pickens can. He's available. When he's not acting stupid.
When he's not fighting people at the 50.
And we saw it last year as Nashville fans rejoiced getting the number one pick. Joe Milton can go out there and win a game too.
God.
He can. He did.
He did.
He did go out there and win a game.
Thank you for Cam Ward.
Yes, against the Buffalo Bills backups.
He went from being a third string quarterback to having one good game. Now he's a backup.
Right.
Just like that.
Yep. So the Cowboys, I don't think are going to be good, but they do have the star power.
From the media.
But Micah Parsons is, that's an elite player.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb is an elite player.
Yeah, but who else?
Right. They need the others to step up.
Is Dak Prescott a franchise quarterback? Is that a guy you think can win you a game?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I think Dak Prescott is a better quarterback than he is given credit for.
And he gets dunked on all the time.
Dak Prescott is not an elite quarterback.
He's a system
guy. No.
Yes.
Dak Prescott would, if Dak Prescott was drafted by the Tennessee Titans, ready for my hot take here, if Dak Prescott was drafted in 2016 by the Tennessee Titans, he would possibly be the greatest quarterback in franchise history.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop.
What?
Wow.
Dak Prescott has been a good quarterback for nearly a decade in the NFL.
They would run
him. He's about to get lit up on this text line. Hey, we better monitor that.
They would run him out of town. Do you know how many picks that guy throws?
I'm saying it's arguable. I'm not saying that he would be better than McNair. I'm saying it would be arguable.
No.
If he had been the quarterback for 10 years?
No. Stop.
Second best is reasonable.
Tannehill's the second best, and he was only here for 4 years.
Oh, my God.
There's not a lot of good. McNair is obviously number one, and I'm not saying Prescott would be better than him, but if Prescott was going into his 10th year as the starting quarterback, I'm just putting it out there. Prescott is better than. He is not a top five quarterback in the league. He's probably not a top eight, but he's top 12.
Mm-mm. He takes a lot of sacks, too. He would take even more here.
I'm going to get lit up, aren't I?
Cowboys have always had a great offensive line, or at least good.
And he takes a lot of sacks.
Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. He is not elite. But Dak Prescott would be better than anything the Titans have had since McNair.
Do you think?
Okay, that's better, but
I said arguably.
Do you think 2,800 yards, 23 touchdowns, and 15 interceptions is winning you a Super Bowl?
He
didn't go as far to say
year,
that.
Though.
Let's not put words in his mouth here. He didn't say that.
Well, I can't use last year because he got hurt half the year.
But that's 1 year. Like, let's look back at 2021. 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Like, 2 years ago. 4,500 yards, 36 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
They would have given up on him within 3 years.
I don't think so. Dak Prescott is a better quarterback than people give him credit for. People like to hate him because he plays for the Cowboys, and he hasn't won in the postseason, which is definitely a knock on Dak Prescott. He has not been able to win in the biggest moments. But in terms of a regular season quarterback, I think he's been better than Tannehill.
And you got to think, too, what conference does he play in?
The NFC, for sure.
A much weaker quarterback conference.
I'm just saying, Prescott, if he played for the Titans, would be the second-best quarterback in franchise history, and I think that you could have made an argument statistically,
I think second best is more reasonable.
For number one.
But you originally started with greatest quarterback of this franchise.
I said
history.
Arguably that you guys are taking my words out of context here. I said arguably. I did not say he would be better than McNair. I said he'd be in the conversation.
Okay. You don't want to know what just was said back here. I won't repeat it on air because
we
need Jake Lyman to get a little heat right now, but. The things that were just uttered back here, you would not believe.
I probably would, but I don't really want to hear them right now.
T-Bone on our text line says, if the Titans drafted Dak Prescott, he would be gone after year five.
Ding, ding, ding.
I disagree with that because the Titans are so desperate for a quarterback who's good. If Dak Prescott...
And you have Quick Trigger Amy, who is not afraid to pull the plug on a quarterback who doesn't put up results.
Quick Trigger Amy, if she found a quarterback who was decent, would assign him to the biggest contract extension in...
Then why didn't
NFL
you re-sign
history?
Ryan Tannehill?
Because Tannehill was old.
But he was good.
He was old and hurt by the end.
Yeah, by the end of that, I think it
was
time to
like,
move
on. There
was
no question about extending him. She did extend him once.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Dak Prescott, he gets way too much hate. I'm not saying that the Cowboys are going to be Super Bowl contenders this year because I don't think their roster is good enough. But if you put the pieces around Dak in the NFC, I think they could... Dak could end up playing in the Super Bowl if they figured out.
I don't disagree with you on that.
Jerry Jones can't build a roster.
That is true.
If he could, I think Dak Prescott in the NFC is good enough to go to a Super Bowl.
They just, okay, they've done it before. They've won the NFC East before with Dak, but they just can't replicate. It's kind of the same issue with the Ravens. They just can't replicate what they do in the regular season into the postseason, and I think that's bigger than Dak Prescott.
It's because Jerry inserts himself midway through the season.
The problem with the Cowboys is not Dak Prescott. It's Jerry Jones.
Yeah. He inserts himself, thinks he's the coach, and tries to make all these moves, and then it ends up blowing in their face.
And they didn't make any moves in free agency last year, which bit them in the butt.
Skyler on our text line says, Dak is solid, sucks in the playoffs, though I'd rather have Dak than Tannehill. Thank you, Skyler. Taylor, we extended Tannehill after a mediocre year. Of course they would keep Dak. That's what I'm saying, is that I think Amy specifically is so desperate to find a franchise quarterback to market, especially for the new stadium, that if Dak Prescott was above average and putting you in the playoff hunt every year, she would assign him to whatever contract he wanted.
I'd rather have Dak than Tannehill, Levis, Mason Rudolph. I'd rather have Dak than all that.
Look, you're holding your own. I disagree with you, but you're holding your own. I respect it.
615-737-1025. If you want to light me up, that's our phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll talk about the two teams that actually matter in the NFC East coming up next, the Commanders and Eagles. They faced off in the NFC Championship last year. Will the Eagles repeat? And again, give us a repeat champion for the first time since 2004 in the NFCs. Don't forget, tomorrow afternoon, come out to Brewhouse South in Cool Springs and meet Nashville native and two-time IndyCar champion Joseph Newgarden from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Also, Big Joe will be on site for a special broadcast of Chasing Checkers from 6 to 7. So get out to Brewhouse South tomorrow and meet Joseph Newgarden and get signed up to win tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Wrapping up hour number two here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Finishing up our hour of NFL preview. We're almost halfway done with the NFL preview. Yesterday we did the AFC and NFC North. Today the AFC and NFC East. Tomorrow we'll go with the West, and then we'll wrap up with the South, including talking about the Tennessee Titans prospects for the 2025 season. I riled people up saying that Dak Prescott would arguably be the best quarterback in Titans franchise
more
history.
More me than anyone.
Yeah, the text line not hating me as much as I thought they would. No. Nevada Josh says I'm fired, but
no, he says you're fired.
Yeah, I also got the Donald Trump one too.
Oh,
fired.
Did you get Vince?
I got both of them. He sent
two. Is that Vince? Oh, that's not Vince. That's Sandow.
The one up top is Trump.
Pretending to be Vince.
Anyway, on to the two teams that actually will compete in the NFC East most likely. The Eagles and Commanders, last year's NFC Championship contenders. The Commanders making the big run, Jaden Daniels as a rookie. What do we think about Washington this year? They added Deebo Samuel. They added Laremy Tunsil, so made some additions. But I struggled with the idea that maybe the Commanders are the Houston Texans of last year.
That's where my head's at. I'm worried Jaden Daniels is going to have a sophomore slump. Maybe not a sophomore slump, but maybe not the season he had last year as a rookie. Because last year, he took the league by storm. I mean, no one could prepare for him. But as D-May says all the time, now everyone's got film on you.
Yep.
Now everyone knows what you're capable of. It's the same thing we talked about with C.J. Stroud. He took the league by storm his rookie year and then had the year he had last year. I don't think Jaden Daniels will have it that level of a slump.
Well, like, the Texans still made the playoffs and won a playoff game.
Right.
So it wasn't a horrible year, but it just wasn't the ascent that we expected.
There were factors that went into that. Like, C.J. Stroud lost Nico Collins for the year. Stephon Diggs went down for the year. Or was it Tank Dell? It was one of those two.
Yeah, Diggs tore his ACL. I forget which one.
I think it was Tank Dell.
Nico Collins and Tank Dell kind of run
together
for me. They're
the same person. Anyways, I don't think it'll be that level of a downgrade for Jaden Daniels. I mean, he's brought in good pieces. Terry McLaurin is a serviceable, fast young man. I just sounded like a 60-year-old saying that.
Fast young whippersnapper.
What a young man. But Deebo, I have my concerns about. He looks like a tight end now.
Yeah, Deebo last year was...
Deebo Hamuel.
He was rough. I'm not sure I love that addition from them. They didn't give up much to get him. I do like the Laremy Tunsil addition, though.
I do.
And they did draft Connerly out of Oregon in the first round, so they improved the offensive line in front of Jaden Daniels.
I like the defense, too.
I like the Commanders on paper, but everybody loved the Texans on paper last season, too. I'm wondering if it's going to be a similar season where they make the playoffs, but Jaden Daniels doesn't take this meteoric rise into the Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson territory?
I stack them up next to the Eagles, and the Eagles, to me, have the deepest roster in the entire NFL. The only thing I think the Commanders may have the Eagles beat in is quarterback. That's Jaden Daniels. But look at the offensive line. Eagles.
Mailata, Lane Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, and they got the best offensive line coach in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They've got weapons for days with Barkley and Brown,
yep,
and Smith and Goddard, who a lot of people thought might be traded, but he's still there.
And producing.
I do struggle to not pick the Eagles here. Even with the curse of no repeat winners in the NFC East for 20 years, the Eagles just feel like the best constructed roster in the NFL right now.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying similar to what I said with the Green Bay Packers and the, who did we do yesterday? We did the North.
AFC-NFC North.
The Bengals. Yeah. Similar to what I said about those two, it wouldn't shock me if Washington came out and competed for the NFC East. But I just don't know. I think the Eagles are just better. I think they're a better constructed football team. I think they execute a lot better. I just advantage Eagles. I mean,
I agree. I would lean Eagles in the NFC East, maybe even a little further than lean. But I do feel confident saying at least two teams from the NFC East are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because
I could see the Commanders being like the five.
Right.
Or the six.
But having maybe the third or fourth best record.
Right.
In the, like last year, they were 12-5. But they were the five seed, even though they had a better record than the winners of the NFC South and NFC West.
You know what I think this will be? I think this will be the NFC North last year.
I could see that.
I think this will be the two-headed monster of Washington and Philadelphia, kind of like we had Detroit and Minnesota last year. Maybe it comes down to one last game between them to decide who wins the conference, but or the division. I always say conference. It's like college football. It's
just, I know,
ingrained in my brain. Maybe it comes down to one last game to see who wins the division, and then the other team is the five seed and may have the second best record in the NFC, but it's just because of divisional stuff. But I could see it like that. I just, on paper right now, are way too early predictions. I would give it to the Eagles.
Yeah, I think the Eagles win the division. But I look at, and we're going to preview the South and the West in full the next couple of days, but I look at the NFC South, and I think that's a one-bid division. I don't really see, maybe the Falcons are decent, but I don't see the Panthers or Saints competing.
Both Souths, really.
The West is kind of meh. Like, the Rams and Niners should be decent, but I think five of your seven NFC playoff teams are going to come out of the North and the East that we've talked about the last 2 days.
Who would you think those are? Eagles, Commanders.
Eagles, Commanders, Lions.
Yep.
And then I think you take two between the Cowboys, Vikings, Packers, Bears.
I think that's fair.
I think those will be the teams fighting for wild card spots.
I think that's very fair.
Is it a hot take of me to say I think it's Cowboys and Bears?
Maybe a bit.
If I had to pick the five, like the wild card teams in the NFC right now, I would go Commanders, Cowboys, Bears.
I think I would go Commanders, Pack, and maybe the Bears. Maybe three NFC North teams.
I could see
in.
That.
Yeah,
I think that. I think the Packers are definitely gonna going to be in
Packers.
The mix.
Maybe I'm overhyping the Cowboys, trying to make up for my Dak Prescott.
Maybe I'm underhyping.
I don't think the Bears is a stretch, though.
I think we're all kind of high on the Bears. We talked about it a lot yesterday.
Duh, Bears.
At Chicago. The hype that the Patriots are getting, I think, should be going to Chicago.
I think so, too.
I do believe in the Bears with the additions that they've made, and they've got an offensive-minded head coach. It's all on Caleb Williams. If he can take the next step, I think they're a playoff team.
But I think Caleb Williams is a better quarterback than Drake May.
Yep, I'm with you.
I think he has the potential to be a lot better quarterback than Drake May.
Let me just say, after going to school in Chicago, like, I just have such a soft spot in my heart for Bears fans.
I'm sure you do.
They have been thrown through the ringer, man.
I mean, they haven't developed a quarterback in 40 years.
But they are so passionate about the Bears. Like, just going to Bears games when I was in school, dude, you would not believe. Like, they are loyal.
Yep. I'd like to see the Bears have a good season. That's one of those tortured fan bases over the last 15 years. I mean, the double doink and
Can I give you a maybe not as hot take, but still a hot take?
Go ahead.
In that Super Bowl, if they had anyone under center other than Rex Grossman, they would have won.
Yeah, it's fair. Rex.
Versus the Colts?
Yeah.
I mean, against Manning, I don't know. But, like, Rex Grossman falls into the Trent Dilfer category of quarterbacks who just, like, they got carried to the Super Bowl by their defense.
Were you still in the womb when that game was played, Connor?
What year was that?
I was 06.
I was 2.
07.
I was here. I was young, but yep. I was here.
Was that Super Bowl 41?
Sounds about right.
Because 40 was Seahawks.
Maybe back into
Steelers.
30.
Which one was it?
Bears Colts. I'm going 41. Everybody get your bets in.
I'll say 39.
I think it was 39 as well.
It's Super Bowl 41.
Look at you.
Okay.
Got it right. That one was in 2007.
I was 3.
So.
No, I was 2. I had not turned 3 yet. My birthday's in May, everyone. If you guys want to send me something next year.
Yeah, you just turned 21.
Yeah, send me a beer.
Congratulations.
615-737-1025. We are halfway done with our week-long NFL preview. Tomorrow, we will hit the West divisions. AFC, NFC West. Lots to talk about in the AFC West. Maybe, I was going to say 3 of the 4 teams could win that division. Nevada Josh would even say 4 out of the 4 teams.
I mean, why are we even doing
apparently
this,
right? The Raiders are winning the Super Bowl. So we'll talk about that division, also the NFC West with the Rams, Niners, Seahawks, Cardinals coming up tomorrow. But coming up next, hour number 3, we're going to talk some college football. Big debate here amongst the 3 of us on the college football playoff, a 16-team format. We'll talk about that. And Trevor Maddich joining us at 4:30. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you. In for Jared Stillman today on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.